Let's talk about an ambassador. An ambassador. Well, we go to good old Webster's dictionary and the definition of an ambassador. Two main definitions here. Number one, a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her own government. Second definition of ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger. Now, in the United States, ambassadors to the various countries is appointed by the president and it's confirmed by the Senate. An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat that represents a nation. The highest ranking diplomat that represents a nation. So from a spiritual standpoint, we may very well realize that the word ambassador has a connection with the Church of God. We could open up our hymnals, right, and sing, what, Ambassadors for Christ. I think we sang that last week, Ambassadors for Christ. Where does this come from? Where does this phrase come from? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul told the Corinthians in verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God." So Paul points out that spiritually speaking, we as members of God's church are a type of ambassador. Obviously, we're not here to represent the United States of America or any other nation. But what did Paul actually mean by the statement? What are the implications? What is an ambassador for Christ? Well, we read the definition. An ambassador represents their nation, their government, when they are positioned in a foreign country. But we are, we could say, U.S. citizens in the Church of God. But Paul says, you know, we're not here to represent, again, any of the interests of the U.S. Where does our citizenship really reside in? Well, let's go to another scripture, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 20, really, it's one scripture packs a lot. It really packs a lot. Philippians 3. 20, it says, for our, in the Greek, the word should be citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, look for in terms of his return, the second coming of Christ, as it says in verse 21, who will change our body, etc. That's at the first resurrection. This is a very significant verse. Our citizenship is in heaven, if we really think about that. We can think about what we experience in our country, the U.S. of A., being citizens, the practices, the freedoms that we have. But Paul says, listen, you gotta go higher than that. You know, our citizenship is in heaven. We're here to represent God and Christ and their way of life as revealed in the scripture. Our ultimate loyalties are not to the nation that we live in. Our ultimate loyalties are to God. That's just one reason why the Church of God, United Church of God, teaches that joining the military, fighting for the nation, is wrong. That's a teaching of United Church of God. We're not here to have that ultimate loyalty that would go against God's word. We have a higher calling, a pledge, which always means that we obey God instead of men. Someone can say, well, are you not then patriotic? You know, is there something wrong with being patriotic to your nation? In a nutshell, patriotism is a love for your country. Let's see Romans. Let's see what Paul said about his fellow men. Did he dismiss them? Did he not care about them? Did he not have a love for his fellow citizens? Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. Paul say, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know, it's a section of scripture. Paul really agonized that his fellow Jews were not, by and large, accepting the truth about Christ as being the Messiah. They were resisting it. And it really pained Paul, because these were his people. These were his nation of people, his tribe, so to speak. There's no doubt that Paul loved his fellow man. And obviously, we are told to love our neighbor, right? That includes our fellow Americans, as well as others, of course. And we certainly can appreciate the freedoms that this country gives us. I mean, it's very valuable. You know, the fact that we can assemble here and no one is, you know, locking the door on us or telling us to get out of here because we don't like your religion. Thankfully, that doesn't happen. You know, we have the right to assemble here and worship God without barriers. We have the right to publish the truth. We have a fantastic country. You get a chance to travel. America is really something, how beautiful our country is. And we have our family and friends that we love, and they're our fellow citizens in that sense. But, you know, patriotism can extend to loving the entire way of life of our country, the entire way. Right? Loving all of its systems, right? Democracy, capitalism, the political process, the law system, the military system, and its culture. Without getting into specifics in this sermon, these systems certainly can be at odds with God's way of life as revealed in the scripture. And scripture always trumps whatever the culture is, whatever the way of life is. Scripture and the way of God always trumps that. And as ambassadors for Christ, we embrace the things that are in Scripture, right? And we don't embrace things that could be at odds with it. Our calling by God is very special. It's very special. We are to be different as we are called into a God's way of life. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. These are the direct words of Jesus as he met with his disciples at last Passover service. John chapter 15, verse 19. Let's go to verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And, you know, the practices, the beliefs that we have in God's church are at odds with a lot of things that either people believe religiously or in general, the things that we practice, the things that we preach. Now, Jesus never said, okay, you're going to be different, you're going to believe different things, so why don't you just go, you know, into maybe the state of Montana, everyone, you know, and just live there and get away from everyone, live your life completely different as a hermit. But Jesus never said that. He never said, listen, you're not to get away from people because you live and think differently, but you live within the world and you shine as a light and promote the things that we believe to be true. But at the same time, we are called to be separate. We are called to be separate. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 this time. Paul has some more things to say to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he has this to say in verse 14. He says, "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an unbeliever, an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So it's a special calling. It's a very special calling. "And therefore," as he says in verse 17, "wherefore come out from among them and be you separate. Says the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So we are called to a different way of life. We have beliefs that people puzzle over and don't understand. Even those that would be professing Christians would say, "Wow, you do some strange things. You believe, you meet on the Sabbath. Why do you do that? Why do you keep these holy days? Why do you practice what you believe in?" It's really something. Our beliefs are very specific. They're right from Scripture. But I'm finding out more and more how there's such confusion and ignorance in professing Christianity. It's really incredible. I'll just give you one example I came across recently. That many professing Christians, like, they don't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. They question it. Pastors of churches that would say they're Christian churches, they question whether Jesus was really raised physically. Paul said, if that didn't happen, then you're in trouble, you know, because you're not going to be raised either. If Jesus wasn't raised, you ain't going to be raised, in the vernacular, and you have no hope. But that scripture is just not read or thought about. I'm just finding more and more, I guess I'm naive as to what people believe that would be professing to believe in scripture. It's really mind-boggling. But we really have specific beliefs, and when we practice them, it's fantastic, and it's precious. It truly is precious that we understand the truth and we're able to practice it. But as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, there's not an agreement with ambassadors of Christ and this world, which generally is cut off from God. You know, God is not trying to save the world now. You know, he has a game plan. There's a plan of salvation. The majority of people will be called late at a later time. But right now, there's a small group that walks down that narrow path. And the marching orders, we do have to be separate. But we should never, ever think of ourselves as, you know, superior or smarter or better than anybody else. That's just being puffed up, which we just went through a holy day, not to be puffed up, right, about anything. We should just humbly recognize differences, and again, realize others will be called later, and the truth will be given to them at a future time. We really pray for that time to come. But again, in the meantime, we have a mission. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's go to chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So there's a deliverance from the ways of this world, all of its philosophies and practices. We are delivered from that, and we're now in a different category. We're, you know, begotten sons and daughters of God, waiting for Christ's return, waiting for the establishment of the kingdom of God. And we are called to be lights to the world and to be ambassadors for Christ. Matthew 28 gives the commission to the church of God. Now, we'll be really the Pentecost season, which, you know, Pentecost was the day that the church of God was established in 31 AD. So it's a really good time for us to give thought to the church of God, what it is, what its mission is, how we fit into that. But we see the commission of Jesus, Matthew 28 and verse 19, to his disciples after he was resurrected. Yes, he was resurrected. We believe in that. He said, "Go you therefore and teach all nations." Right then and there, you know, the commission is, well, just, you know, preach to the people in your area, in your state, in your community, or, you know, your nation. It's like, well, no, the commission is to go to all nations as we can, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' words to his disciples, and we're just carrying on that mission to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God and God's way of life. That's the mission that we have. And I gave a sermon not that long ago about what is the gospel of Christ. And again, there's just unbelievable ignorance and confusion in the professing Christian world of what is the gospel. Is it the person of Christ, or is the message that he preached? But thankfully, you know, we have it clear of what the mission is for us to do. We can't just have the practices in a church, and, you know, we are Sabbath keepers, and we practice certain beliefs, and that's it, and we're just happy to get together by ourselves. We have to be engaged collectively to get that message out to others. Very, very vital. Let's go to James, the book of James, chapter 3. In a practical way, when someone is going to be named to be an ambassador, they definitely have to have good communication skills. Imagine being named the ambassador to France, right? And, I don't really speak French, but hey, I'll do my best, right, to be an ambassador. It's like, well, hold on. You have to, you know, you're going to go there. You're going to be in that country at an embassy. You definitely have to speak French, you know, if you want to be an ambassador to France for the United States. So we're talking about good communication skills. Well, it is important how we conduct ourselves with one another in the areas of communication. James chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "My brethren, don't be many masters, don't be many teachers, knowing that we'll receive the greater judgment. For in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, that same is a perfect individual, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We have ships, and there's, driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a small helm wherever, you know, we go. Even so, the tongue, it's a little member." Right? How much does your tongue weigh? I've never looked into that, but not much, right? But it boasts great things. You know, we open our mouth and things just come out. But as James said in verse 5, "Behold, what matter a little fire kindles." Verse 6, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It can defile the whole body." And he goes on to say, hey, we've tamed birds and serpents and everything, but, you know, taming, you know, your words, taming the things that come out of your mouth, you know, that's the problem. He says we can bless God in verse 9, but then we can curse men, which are made in the image of God. That's a contradiction. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conduct his works with meekness and wisdom. So our, as an ambassador, has to be very careful, with the things that he or she says. That can kindle wars, you know, if you really come across that. My nation is saying this and this. Oh, really? Okay. You know, you can offend nations and things like that. It's important how we we think before we speak. That's very important. Very important. Think before we speak. Now, to be, again, an ambassador in this world, besides, you know, communication skills, there is typically an ambassador will have a background in political science, in history. History is very important. You know, what is the background? Where is this country now, but why is it there at this point in time? You know, what has preceded this? What things do I have to be to know about to understand what they're all about? Economics is another area to understand of another nation. It's culture and etiquette, right? There's certain things that you might want to say that in another nation is an insult. So you have to be very, very careful of how you come across as an ambassador. But let's just talk about some specifics of an ambassador. And obviously we're here to discuss are a spiritual ambassador for Christ, that we are representative of another culture, if you think about it. Another culture, another way of life, and we have to know who we represent, and that is God and Christ, their way of life. Let's go back to John chapter 15, and hear more of the direct words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, and verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. So the goal for us as Christians is really to emulate the life that Jesus lived. If a man abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, he's withered, men gather them, cast them to the fire, they're burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it will be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So we are representing the way of Christ, and you know, for us to do that, we have to know, what did Jesus say? You know, what did he talk about? How did he act? How did he deal with people? You know, that's why it's important that we read scripture. We read the gospel accounts. We have four of them to read. We should not let a lot of time go by before we go read about the gospel's accounts. You know, how did he deal with enemies? How did he deal with situations? Because that's how we want to follow. We want to be ambassadors of Christ. Another area about an ambassador, it's not about an ambassador giving their own opinions, what they think should be done, right? It's not that an ambassador goes, you know, to Germany and starts, you know, critiquing the government there based on his or her own opinion, but they have to know, okay, hold on, what is, you know, I'm being sent here, what is the position of the U.S. government, then that's what I'm here to represent, not my own personal opinion. Well, certainly that's the same for us. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about what counts. Scripture is what counts at the end of the day, not our opinion on a matter. Not trivial things, not, you know what kind of hat you should wear. You know, that's an opinion. But we're talking things that are material, you know, the way of life to live. It's all about it's all about scripture. It's not about what we think should be done. Let's take a look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And verse 38. There's another remarkable statement of Jesus. The Messiah, the Son of God. What did he say? John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Well, that's a perfect ambassador, right? It's not about what I think. I want to represent God. That's why I was sent here. And that's how we have to think. It's all about God's word. The values and understanding and doctrine that we see in Scripture, and that is something that we need to embrace. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we see another function of an ambassador. And it's the first verse, Romans 1, verse 1. Paul's writing here to them, and he starts off by saying, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Even Paul, you know, one of the great figures of the New Testament, he's like, hey, you know, I'm here as a servant of Christ, a servant of God. I'm here to represent them, to preach, that, be a pastor in that way. So, you know, spiritual ambassador, you function as a servant or a steward. As Paul eloquently says right here in Romans 1, verse 1. One other job that an ambassador of a foreign country would do, typically they are in embassies in the foreign country, and they're going to invite representatives of the nation to come there and, to host them and have functions and things like that. There are certainly in scripture, it's, you know, providing hospitality to others, service to others is a wonderful quality. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, in scripture, it talks about certainly a couple of leadership positions as a deacon and an elder. And in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about verse 1, if a man desires the office of an elder or a bishop, he desires a good work. It talks about, in verse 2, the qualifications, things to look for, has to be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant and sober-minded, of good behavior, and notice, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. In other words, just being of service. And that's something that at times we can all practice and helping one another, whether it's a neighbor or it's someone within the Church of God. That's a great attribute in terms of being an ambassador for Christ. Ambassadors are not self-appointed, right? No one stands up and goes to Congress or the White House and says, hey, I want to be the ambassador to Ireland. You know, I always wanted to go there. This will be a freebie. I'll get paid for doing it. So, hey, I'm your person. It's like, well, no, you have to be appointed, right? The president appoints you. You don't, you know, tell anybody that you want to be an ambassador. So there's not a self-appointment, but certainly spiritually speaking, we're all appointed by God, right? God opens up our minds, we're called, and that's an incredible blessing. We're not to push ourselves, but we're here because God has opened up our minds to the truth. Finally, with an ambassador of a nation, the nation's going to provide all of the support, right? Hey, here's your ticket, you know, go here, go to the embassy, here's your expense account and things like that, right? The needs are provided. Certainly, as spiritual ambassadors, our needs are given to us by God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 19. One scripture. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. And we're talking the spiritual needs. The things we need to live our life in devotion to God and others. God supplies our needs. Now, he might not supply all your wants and, you know, I want this, you know, I want this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's always a separation between needs and wants. I always did that with our children. They would bring something up and I said, is this a need or a want? And be honest, is it a need or a want? And, you know, when it's a want, then it's like, okay, we can talk about that. A need, okay, you know, I'm here to help you. So, but God provides our needs for sure. Let's just go back to where we started, 2 Corinthians 5:20, because there's more things to talk about from that scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Talks towards the end about being reconciled to God in verse 20. But let's just back up to verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You think of an ambassador in this world, it can be absolutely critical that you reconcile issues. You know, what if you're an ambassador to Israel, or Jordan, or Egypt, such a critical hotspot in the world. A lot of times you're there to foster peace and, you know, cool down things that heat up from time to time. Reconciliation, it's the restoration of a personal relationship by dealing with the root cause of the problem. As ambassadors of Christ, we are no longer alienated from God because we've accepted his calling and the sacrifice of Christ. But that's not good enough. It's not, okay, I'm fine and I'm good with God and, you know, that's it. You know, I'm a happy man. Or it's about that we've been entrusted, as it says, that we can help others. We can help others at time. With a ministry of reconciliation. And we have that opportunity, maybe not every day, but I know personally, I was called to the truth from my brother, right? It was a family member who was finding out about God's way of life. And that was the connection, as a family member. And a lot of people that have come into God's church, it's through another family member, or maybe maybe a neighbor or a workmate. So that's an incredible privilege when we're able to pass information along. And that's part of the ministry of reconciliation. We start people off on that process. and getting right with God. We see in chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he says, I've heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So Paul's emphasizing, listen, you know, you've been given this calling. You've been given the truth. Don't ever miss an opportunity to spread the word, so to speak. And certainly by our actions and our example, certainly are very powerful for us to, you know, show that example to others. Now, Paul moves forward from here, and he actually provides an additional attribute of an effective ambassador in verse 3. He says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Be very careful, the words we use, the actions, to be very careful with others, and, you know, be aware of their situation, and be gentle, and have the love of God with others, and really striving to represent the truth, but not, you know, to shove it in people's face, so to speak. It also, you know, it has a qualifier here. Give no offense in anything, but in all things approving yourselves as ministers of God in much patient afflictions and necessities and distresses. And of course, as Paul realized, sometimes upholding the truth, he was persecuted for it big time. But that's also part at times of an ambassador for Christ, that we have to stand up for the truth. You know, we have to, you know, be out there and willing to not apologize for what we believe in, but stand up for it and never, ever, never forsake it or try to hide it. God wants us to be light and example. Verse 6, he talks about by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report, etc. You know, there's a lot packed into just verses 6 and 7 in terms of all the attributes that, you know, we need to strive after. You know, pureness of thoughts and action in verse 6. Knowledge, we should, you know, gain a fundamental knowledge of the beliefs that are, you know, core doctrines of Scripture. Talks about by kindness, kind of touched upon that, hospitality and kindness towards one another. Love, certainly unfeigned. And the word of truth in verse 7. We've got to know, you know, what we believe in, what the Scripture says, and practice it. Help others to understand it as we have opportunity. Overall, brethren, within this world, there are people that really strive to be named an ambassador to another country. And that's a big, big honor. Now, maybe that's your cultural background. Maybe that's your nationality. Imagine being, you know, being Irish and raised, you know, in an Irish household, you know, how, and you have the opportunity to be, say, an ambassador to Ireland. I mean, that would be awesome, right? Wow, you know, I'm here, be able to go back, you know, and be among the culture that I grew up with. So it's a tremendous calling in terms in this world, but an ambassador for Christ is the highest calling. I mean, there's nothing beyond that. Nothing can supersede that. When we fulfill that role, God is well pleased, and we really become part of a special people, a called out people at this time. 1 Peter 2, we'll wrap it up here. 1 Peter chapter 2.
Verse
1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 9. But you are, Peter says, he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. You know, that's the category that we're in. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable, right? That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So let's take to heart the role of ambassador for Christ, the need to avoid worldly pursuits and influences, learning to be separate from the things that are at odds with God's way, looking at things from God's viewpoint, not necessarily our own, and striving to help reconcile those that we come in contact with. Let's be an ambassador for Christ.